Hi, and welcome to the Finally Pregnant podcast, the podcast for those who are finally pregnant and parenting after infertility and loss. I'm your host, Kat Strawbridge, and after almost 7 years trying with multiple rounds of fertility treatment, which sadly included pregnancy loss, I became finally pregnant in 2018, and I'm now finally parenting my gorgeous daughter, Ren. This season of the Finally Pregnant podcast is sponsored by Tomorrow Life Sciences. Ever wondered how and where your frozen eggs and embryos are stored? They are kept in tanks called dewars. Inside each tank, hundreds of eggs and embryos are submerged in liquid nitrogen. They're identified with tiny handwritten or printed labels, and the clinic manages and monitors them manually. This part of the IVF lab hasn't been updated in decades and also hasn't benefited from technology or innovation. That's where life sciences company Tomorrow comes in. Tomorrow has created the world's first and only automated platform for the management, identification, and storage of frozen human eggs and embryos. What does this mean? Tomorrow's technology replaces handwritten labels with sophisticated digital tracking, which creates an unbreakable digital link between the specimens and the patient. It also automates a huge part of the process, vastly reducing the risk of mistakes and human error. Finally, it monitors the safety of those frozen eggs and embryos 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Tomorrow's state-of-the-art technology gives patients and clinics peace of mind that those precious, irreplaceable frozen eggs and embryos are safe and protected. Tomorrow is being rapidly adopted by a host of clinics across the United States, creating a new and improved standard of care, and will be available in clinics in the UK this year. To find out more, visit tmrw.org. Links in the show notes. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Finally Pregnant podcast. I thought I would give a little update on my dad. I love that he's become the update for those who have been following his story. He is awake. Oh, honestly, just the fact that I laugh after I say that, it just is a miracle in itself. But he is awake. He's off the ventilator. And this week he moved from ICU to a high dependency ward. Initially, he was suffering from something called ICU delirium, which apparently is really, really normal, but it is incredibly difficult to watch because he was really confused and paranoid. And, you know, it just, yeah, it was pretty difficult. But he is slowly but surely coming back to his old self, which is amazing. He has got a long road in rehab physically, but we are hoping, and I say this with my fingers firmly crossed, for a good, if not full recovery, which is just, yeah, just a total miracle. And just once again, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to anyone who supported me and my family through that. It was just overwhelming and we couldn't have done it without you. In other news, we're prepping for Ren's third birthday, which, you know, I can't believe she's going to be three. What the absolute, oh my goodness. B has come around so quick because obviously I have been pretty preoccupied with everything going on with my dad recently. In fact, you know, I was talking this week to some friends and just before everything happened with my dad, Bob and I were meant to sit down and have a conversation about whether we just have a family party for her or whether we invite some of her friends, because we're starting to get to know a few of her nursery friends and stuff, having come out of lockdown and there just being a bit more interaction. But that all went off the table with my dad. So this week, finally, with only like 2 weeks or so to go, we have had that conversation, booked an emergency bouncy castle. And what we're going to do, I've taken a bit of inspiration from one of my sisters, actually. So we're going to do a friend's brunch. And there's only going to be, I'd say, if there were 10 kids, that's probably about it. Just from our village and a couple of kind of people outside the village as well. Some friends, like I said, from nursery or preschool, as she says. Not nursery, mummy, preschool, not nursery. So we're going to do that. I'm going to have a little birthday brunch for her with them and then invite my family around. And the reason I'm separating it at this point is because with the cousins, they're that bit bigger. And I think it would just be quite nice for a little group of toddlers to like bounce on the bouncy castle themselves. I'm quite looking forward to that because usually there's it's a bit more raucous with my family because it is a big family, which is wonderful, don't get me wrong. But I think it'll be nice for her to kind of spread it out through the day. And yeah, just really looking forward to it now. Although also desperately trying to work out about birthday presents and all of that rigmarole, which is proving harder because on Tuesday, we woke up and suddenly she's got chickenpox. You know, when you're like, come on, I need to break people. But anyway, a while ago, I was reading Jay Shetty's book, and he talks about a mantra, a motto, which is don't judge the moment. And it's something that I have to say, I have clung to or said out loud a few times ever since. And in this instance, my don't judge the moment is, oh my gosh, after everything I've just been through with my dad, to then have to deal with chicken pox and so Ren off preschool, not being able to work properly, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I did think, I'm really glad she's got it now and not over a birthday, you know? So as hard as it was in that moment to realize that she had chicken pox, don't judge the moment, because actually it's better for her to have it now than it would have been in a couple of weeks. Does that make sense? And I honestly don't judge the moment. Just write that down or try and kind of, I don't know, pin it in your brain. Because once you hear it, or for me, once I heard that, the amount of times I've kind of said it out loud to myself or even in my head and thought, yeah, you know what? Yeah, that was better that it happened that way. So yeah, that's what I'm clinging on to. Well, that's what I'm telling myself anyway. But no, it's good. As far as chicken pox is concerned, lots of amazing advice and suggestions from you guys over on Instagram about that. Better than was from my doctor, which was not great. Didn't even get an appointment. Wouldn't even FaceTime me about it. But I will do a post at some point. Don't hold me to it. The long and short of it is not chamomile anymore, which is what happened in my day. But apparently that dries up the spots too quick and can make them really itchy. Piriton, Virasmooth, Poxclin, Head and Shoulders in the bath, or oats, like porridge oats in a sock, or I've got a little laundry bag and put that in the bath. Obviously, I'm not a medical professional. Please do check with your pharmacist or doctor, but I just thought I would throw them out there. And as I say, if I do get a chance, I will do a post on it too. But right, enough about all of that. On to today's guest, and I'm joined by the fabulous Seetal Savla. Now, I have been in touch with Seetal for a good while now, and like, you know, kind of following her story. She's spoken on a couple of things for me over when we were doing Cat and Alice events and things. Her and her husband, Neil, have been trying to conceive for 6 years after being diagnosed with a diminished ovarian reserve. They experienced initially a devastating miscarriage. They've had 4 unsuccessful IVF cycles. Seetal did then get pregnant on their first donor egg IVF cycle, but sadly had a traumatic miscarriage at 9 weeks. And Seetal has been amazing at documenting her ongoing story over on her blog, savlafair.com, which I will put a link to that and to her social media in the show notes. She's written articles for many, many media outlets so that she can raise awareness of infertility and destigmatize the subject, particularly among South Asian communities. And she just really is keen to support others in similar situations, which is incredible. Seetal and her husband, Neil, are now pregnant again, which is amazing news. Like we talk about in our chat, congratulations, very quietly. They've actually conceived naturally, which is just wonderful news. But even when you get pregnant naturally, as you'll hear us talk about, you still carry the grief, the fear, and the anxiety of the journey that you have been through throughout your pregnancy. And I've talked to countless people about this and how difficult it can be, and that where do I fit in again? But hopefully, you know, kind of through the conversation, you will know, and hopefully you know already because you're here, that you fit in here, absolutely this community is for you. In addition to what we cover in our chat, Sita also mentioned to me her fears around buying and receiving things like maternity clothes and baby paraphernalia, and only feeling able to do that when it was absolutely necessary. And I know that's something that I have definitely felt, and many others will relate to too. She said to me outside of the recording about the pram and the car seat they bought, that she was sitting and looking at them all now, and part of her feels like they're holding on to them for someone else to collect, or playing at being parents like she did when she was a little girl with dolls in a pushchair. And it's just, oh, it's heartbreaking, isn't it? It really is. But, you know, we also, during our conversation, talk about trying where possible to lean into the joy, but understanding and not being too hard on ourselves when the fear takes over. Please, please, please make sure you are getting as much support as possible. That you're here listening to the podcast means that you know that you need support, that you know you want to hear these stories, that you know you have a place where you feel understood, and that is so important. If you want to help the podcast reach even more people who would benefit from it in that way, please, please do head to the podcast wherever you listen and leave a review, or take a quick screenshot because you're listening and share it on your socials and tag Finally Pregnant. And as I hope you know, and there's a little advert coming between this and the chat about the hangout and the Finally Pregnant yoga and Pilates sessions and lots of other support out there for you if you are finally pregnant and parenting. I am going to leave it there because I think I've talked for ages, and I'm going to hand it over to our chat. Huge, huge gratitude to Sita for joining me for our conversation. And thank you to you for listening. Lots and lots of love. Take care. Bye-bye. Before we head into today's chat, I want to remind you just how important it can be to talk and share our stories with people who get it. That's just one of the reasons I created this very podcast. And you already know how important that is because you're here to listen to people whose experiences you relate to. But I want to give everyone the opportunity to talk, and that is just one of the reasons I launched The Hangout, a community specifically for those who are finally pregnant and parenting after infertility and loss. When you join, you'll receive a free meditation, access to a 24/7 community, invitations to exclusive live podcast recordings with experts across all areas of pregnancy and parenting, a full and growing resource library, support groups, discounts, and more. Find out more at catstrawbridge.com. I look forward to seeing you there soon. Hi there, Sita. How are you doing?
I'm really well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Like, that's so not true, is the truth. But anyway, I had a terrible night with Ren and chicken pox and everything else going on. But I am really happy to be sat in front of a microphone chatting to you, if I'm honest. So that makes me feel really good.
Likewise. Thank you very much for having me. Oh. I just wanted to say I've been a fan of the podcast for such a long time, and I've been listening in moderation up until now, because it was quite hard when you're still on the journey. And in all honesty, I'd given up hope that we would ever be where we are right now, and that I would be finally pregnant. So now I've sort of been binging on the past episodes. And thank you very much for giving people that platform to share their experiences. It makes all the difference.
Oh, that makes me so happy to hear. It genuinely does. I know that there are people who listen to this when they're trying to conceive, and I know that I wouldn't have been one of those people. Do you know that? Because I really, and I think it was a way that I protected myself. I thought, you know how your story ends. Honestly, it's made me kind of tear up a little bit, you saying that. But I think, you know how your story ends. Like, you don't remember, you don't understand. And now being this side of it, I think, oh my gosh, I really, really do. And the fact that there wasn't the space for the finally pregnant as well, like, it's just been my utter joy to bring this podcast and other support, you know, and give kind of this space some airtime. So wherever you're listening to it in your journey, whether it's for hope, whether it's for validation of something you're going through, or whether it's retrospectively kind of giving you that validation and that feeling of being heard, it's just, yeah, I'm just so, so delighted that it's here. And it's down to people like you who are brave enough to come on and talk and share your story as well. So a huge, huge thank you to you for being here today. Speaking of your story, it would be amazing if you could, kind of give us a little bit of a talk about kind of how you have come to be here today, because I know it's been a long journey, hasn't it?
Oh, it really has. And it's always a challenge to condense about 6 years of history and trauma and treatment into about 6 minutes, but I will do my best. So it all started on Christmas Day 2015, when my husband Neil and I found out that I had become pregnant naturally. And up until this point, I had sort of convinced myself that I didn't really want to become a mum due to all the pressure to procreate from older family members and the community and society and Bollywood films, etc., you name it. But when it actually happened, when I saw positive on that test, I was elated. And unfortunately, that pregnancy ended in miscarriage. But as devastating as that was, it forced me to confront the fact that we had been married for 8 years and that had been our sole pregnancy. So clearly there was an issue here that we needed to explore. So off we went to the GP. And after a year of fertility tests and waiting for results, I was diagnosed with low ovarian reserve. And we started our first round of IVF on the NHS. I was in my mid-30s at this point. When that cycle failed and we didn't qualify for extra funding because I didn't produce enough embryos for a second round, we decided to go private. And I underwent two brutal fresh rounds at an IVF clinic known as IVF Bootcamp in central London.
Been there.
I think. If you know, you know. Exactly. It's one of those things. You just, whenever I say that, brutal, intense, people just know. And no regrets. It was an experience. It didn't work out for us, unfortunately. And after that third cycle, so the second cycle with them, my third cycle in total, our then consultant mentioned donor eggs for the first time. And for me, it was an immediate switch. I know that people speak about loss of genetics and grieving and needing time to process all of that. And that is completely valid and normal. We are all individuals. I personally was ready there and then because I was sick and tired of just trying and failing to have a baby. I felt like such a failure as a woman and a wife, a daughter, a daughter-in-law. And if there was a higher chance of success of having that baby through donor conception, I was there. I was all for it. But that clinic, unfortunately, only works with known donors. And we didn't know anyone who fit the criteria, which was someone under 35 and who had already had a child. And we also didn't feel comfortable asking anyone, even if we had known. I think this was our journey and we preferred to keep it that way. Neil also wasn't quite ready to walk down this road yet and wanted to do a fourth and final cycle using my own eggs. So we swapped clinics to enable us to do that, as well as have an anonymous access to anonymous donors, which is a service that they offered. So early 2020, we embarked on our fourth cycle. And then COVID happened and fertility clinics closed in the UK around March. So we got as far as egg collection. And it was just everything that you imagine, destabilizing, frustrating, full of anger, people making those corona baby boom jokes. And you're on your work Zoom calls, you know, with babies bouncing on knees. And oh, it was just heartbreaking. And I remember just feeling even more out of control and powerless than usual. So much uncertainty. In the end, we only were delayed by a month, and that transfer unfortunately didn't work. So it was time for donor conception. And there was a lot of waiting there again, a lot of setbacks due to logistics with the program with the clinic and then Brexit and other issues as well. And the fact that we threw our own spanner in the works by moving to Berlin in late 2020, because we just thought we're waiting around. We don't have any ties at the moment. Our parents and our families are in good health. So let's just take this opportunity that has come our way and start again. We need a break.
And just on that, like, that is so brave. Well, I don't know the kind of background to that move or anything, but when you are in that limbo of trying to conceive, making life-changing decisions like that, like, must have been massive. And what you did is you were able to commute back and forth. So you were still having your treatment here, weren't you? Even though I say here because I'm in the UK.
Yes. Yeah.
But you were still, you're here, which is Berlin. You were living there rather. That's, yeah, that's so brave. And yeah, just incredible. And go you for doing that.
Thank you. We still sometimes look at each other and go, but we live in Berlin. How did that happen?
That's cool.
And the opportunity came about through Neil's work. And I was working remotely at the time, as many of us were. And we'd sold our flat. So we really didn't have anything holding us back. And we thought, worst case scenario, we'll come back. You know, what's the worst that can happen? That's it, really. Let's try. And we're still here a year and a half later, and things are going well, touch wood. So yes, going back to the treatment, that was late 2020. 2021, we were then matched with a British-Spanish donor. And just a little bit, we'll probably circle back to this later, but I didn't want to have an Indian donor because of the lengthy wait times. We were told 2 to 3 years at that point. And when you're approaching your 40s and time isn't on your side anyway, you've got low ovarian reserve, you're just really conscious of time ticking away. And we also wanted to have a non-anonymous donor. So if we were lucky and we were to have a baby, that our child would then have access to identifying information about the donor when they turned 18, if they wished to. Mm-hmm. So we had a Spanish donor and we were full of hope for this new path. And unfortunately, she produced 15 unviable eggs. So that cycle was cancelled.
Gosh,
I didn't even know that that was a possibility. No. That I think in some cases, you know, the trigger is pulled 36 hours before collection and some women need a little longer or a little less. And that's what happened in this case. So we were extremely unlucky. And the donor had just started a new job, so she was willing to re-donate, but not for about 2-3 months. We were just crushed. We thought, yeah, how much more can we take? Maybe we should have just gone for anonymous, gone to Spain. It would have been done within the space of a couple of months. And then out of the blue, we were matched with a British Ecuadorian donor. And that treatment went well. She produced 3 embryos. I flew back to the UK for the transfer in the same week that I started a new job in Berlin. So it was quite intense. And all the COVID protocols as well. It was all very scary and very new doing this by myself because Neil stayed behind in Berlin. That went well. I fell pregnant after the 2-week wait, which was amazing, but we were cautiously optimistic given the previous losses and just the history, which weighs heavily on you. And then sadly, we heard those 5 words 2 months later. I'm sorry, there's no heartbeat. And I can't even begin to describe how devastating that was. You just feel like your world has been ripped apart, and the numbness and the grief and the anger, the frustration, the disappointment, it's a lot to process. And we took some time out. I bled constantly for about 2 months. I decided against a DNC because I was fearful of having issues with future treatments, potential scarring maybe, which people said was minimal for my first DNC, but I just didn't want to take any risks. And after I'd recovered physically, we decided to just park all of that treatment and enjoy life. Restrictions were easing in Berlin, and we wanted to make the most of our opportunity here. So that's kind of what we were doing. And then we fell pregnant naturally. We conceived. And that in itself, that is a journey which we will talk about in more detail. But I just couldn't believe it, didn't want to believe it, and still struggle to believe it now. I'm well into my third trimester. And, you know, there are still those fears and anxieties hanging around.
That's it. Often people say to me, and I know that I'm kind of starting at the end here, but people say to me, you know, oh, it's a natural pregnancy, you know, and like, where do I belong now? And it's kind of like, if you've been through everything that you've been through, whether it's loss, whether it's infertility, whether it's a combination, the anxiety of all of that is not going to disappear because you got pregnant naturally. You know, that is still very much going to be with you. And, you know, like I know from talking to lots and lots and lots of people in that situation that it very much is. So I totally get that, you know, that all of that history is still with you, isn't it?
Very much so. And even last week, I haven't posted about this yet on Instagram, but I do want to discuss it in more detail. I was having therapy since the end of last year to help me cope with the trauma of that miscarriage and the loss and the layered trauma of all the failures that came before. I didn't even consider it as trauma until the middle of last year, actually, until I spoke to a donor conception specialist, a different therapist, and she said, you know, you've been through so much and it is trauma and it does need to be worked through and whatever you're feeling is valid. And it sort of hit me, I think, at that point. You just carry on, don't you? You get yourself to the next stage and put your feelings on hold a little bit, and then they resurface and bubble up.
Yeah, totally, totally. And it's amazing to hear that you are seeing a therapist. It's something that I advocate about massively. I have recently gone back to mine because of, you know, some family stuff that's going on with my dad being really unwell, although fortunately he's kind of making a good recovery at this point. But yeah, it's just brilliant to hear that, because what I have seen before and read about before is the link between postnatal depression and fertility babies. And, you know, people who have listened to lots of this podcast will have heard me say this before, but I don't feel like I say it often enough to say it one more time. But, you know, if you're carrying all of the TTC trauma or the loss trauma, yes, and then you get pregnant, you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Oh my gosh, this is like scary as hell. Mm-hmm. And so you don't, you're processing like literally every day at that moment, every so minute, much. Aren't you? So you're not, yeah, you haven't got time to kind of go back. And then you have a baby and then you're like, wow. And then the sleep deprivation, the hormones, all of that, you know, like, yeah. So when do you deal with this? So unfortunately, and this is not the case for everyone, because I know, having heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm definitely going to get postnatal depression. I'm definitely going to get it. And I was really like warning everyone around me that this might be the case. And this, you know, it doesn't happen to anyone. And it's not a prerequisite. You know, obviously it happens to people who haven't been through a journey, but it's just worth, I think sometimes that information is power, you know? Well, it is always, yes, isn't it? Let's face it. So don't be shy about going and trying to process some of this at any point of your journey, you know, because you're completely right, Seetal. This is trauma that we're going through. This is huge levels of grief. And we need to understand and kind of let that out, so to speak, don't we?
Yeah. And after that last session, I cried during it, of course, but I took about 5-10 minutes out afterwards and just bawled my eyes out for the journey that we've been on. Sometimes you just need to take a step back and then you realize the intensity, the enormity of it all, just the constant failures and having to rebuild yourself. That is really hard. After each failure, you cling on to that hope, you scrape it up from somewhere, get yourself through another round. And even when you say you feel hopeless, there is obviously hope there, because you wouldn't be doing it if you didn't think that you had a chance. And then you hear those words, you know, you get the phone call, you get the blood test, and it's just, I'm sorry, Mrs. Savlin. You're like, oh God, I'm here again. Really? You know, when am I going to get my lucky break? And then you do. And this wonderful surprise has just been gifted to us by nature. That's how I feel. I don't use the word blessing lightly, and it really is like a miracle. All babies are miracles, but this feels like such a miracle to us. And you don't believe it. And there's a lot of survivor's guilt attached to that as well, especially because it happened naturally. So where do I fit in now? I know other fertility advocates have talked about that as well, that you're in the trenches with people and you're bonding over that and you support one another. And then what happens when one of you falls pregnant? And if it happens naturally as well, you know, how do you be sensitive? I don't want to come across as smug or insensitive or any of those things, because I'm very well aware of how it feels to be in that position of trying so hard to make something happen and it's just not going your way.
Yeah, totally. And the thing that I would say, and I'm sure that lots and lots of people would agree with, you know, it is all our own journey. And if we are one of those people who are trying to conceive, and I guess I'm kind of doing this myself in a way and have done at various points during my journey, but for me, where people are having seconds, you know, and sometimes I don't want to see that. I can't see that. We know we can't. And I unfollow or I mute and I, you know, and I did this years ago, you know, kind of before I had Ren. And it's like, I wish you everything, but I just need to protect myself, you know, and that's okay to do.
Yes.
But as far as belonging, you know, the podcast is here, the hangout is here, the yoga and Pilates sessions are there. Like, you, I promise you, if you are pregnant following infertility or loss, and that's whether it's a natural pregnancy, whether it's a fertility pregnancy, whether anything, there is a space for you. You do belong here. And yeah, like, my arms are open to you, as is the whole community. You know, it really is. So please, please, I don't want anyone to feel like they don't belong, because they absolutely do. And if you're listening here, you know that. And that's the important thing.
Thank you so much, Kat.
Oh, honestly, I just, it's everything to me. One of the things that you have done during your journey is spoken out, you know, and you write amazing articles, and you've had a couple out recently in particular, which I will have shared on the Finally Pregnant Instagram. And how has that felt about talking publicly about your journey as you've gone on?
It's been interesting, because in an ideal world, I didn't want to tell anyone not even close family and friends. I would have liked to have just stayed in the bubble, I think, and let everything progress naturally, touch wood, hopefully it worked out well. And then when baby arrives safely, just say, well, surprise, we've been a little bit busy. And because we're in Berlin, it's just easier to sort of do that and working remotely and you can hide it from everyone. And I think a lot of that comes down to control as well, because you feel so out of control during treatment. And being able to just keep this secret and hold it tight, this precious thing, was very important to me. And that's one of the themes that came up in therapy a lot, actually. I was very reluctant to let that go once it's out there. And you know people will be happy and people are invested in your journey. And I'm so grateful for that. And it really helps me when I have my low moments. Because even with all that amazing support, I still do feel lonely and overwhelmed sometimes. But it's just, you get the congratulations and you deserve this and you're going to get your rainbow baby, as if it's a done deal. And I know people want to be encouraging, and I talk about toxic positivity and all those platitudes that are well-meaning but so frustrating, as everyone will know, because it just invalidates what you're feeling. You're opening yourself up really raw and exposed, and then someone just says, oh, it'll be fine, don't worry about it. Well, how do you know? It wasn't fine last time. Maybe this time it will be fine and things are actually going well. You know, it's a normal pregnancy, which on the physical side of things still blows my mind. Emotionally and mentally, it's been extremely difficult because I didn't even want to do the test at the beginning. I didn't want to know. I wanted to stay in that safe zone where I could pretend that I was pregnant, because if it was positive, then I'd be happy, but then fearful of the worst case scenario happening again, which would be miscarriage. And then if it wasn't positive, that would be crushing as well. What do you do? Because you let yourself hope for a little while and you were just on an even keel. So yeah, I cried when I went to the pharmacist and got the test, because I really just didn't want to, but I did have to find out. And we left it for about 20 odd weeks before telling our families. We told them in person, flew back to the UK. And then I shared it on social media and everyone has been absolutely wonderful. But that was also difficult because I didn't want my friends to find out via social media posts, people who I knew were struggling to conceive. So I made a list of those people who I wanted to contact, and I sent individual messages to them to let them know this will be going out soon. And I completely understand if you can't reply, take your time. Don't reply if you can't, you know, I get that. I've been there. And everyone has been really wonderful, but it hurts. I know that it hurts. It stings because it's that happy, sad feeling. You know, I am happy for you. And I really hope it goes all the way, but I'm also sad for myself. And that is a difficult position to be in, I think.
Yeah. I was just thinking as you were saying that, like this community that we're part of, and this is like, you know, TTC, Finally Pregnant, all of that. It's a really very special one, isn't it? And it's one that, you know, the fact that you reached out to people, and my guess is, I'm totally making an assumption here, there were people on there that you've never actually met, that you've never necessarily spoken to, like kind of, you know, kind of voices rather, you know, like, but just on DMs and stuff. And yet you took the time to reach out to them. And that is something that I know goes on across the community. Like, how incredible is that as a community, that we have that much compassion and understanding and empathy for each other? It's just, and I know it's been said before, you know, none of us want to be here. It really it is a special, special place, isn't it?
And very much so, yeah.
I know one of the posts that you shared a little while ago, and we had a bit of a conversation in DMs about it as well, about like, what do you say when someone becomes finally pregnant? And I said to you that I always say, and I literally write this out quite often in my DMs and things, I'm like, I'm saying congratulations really quietly, you know, because it is wonderful news. But when someone comes at you with like, oh my God, that's amazing, congratulations, blah, 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 you know, that's a lot, isn't it? And then you're managing their expectations and you're, so yeah, that can be really difficult.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there with expectations, and especially with family, because this has been such a long journey. Neil and I are coming up to our 14th wedding anniversary in September, and we've been trying now for 6 years, and our families just want this for us, you know, and they've been accompanying us on the journey. And I get that that desire is so strong, but there's a lot of expectation management going on there with let's just be cautious. Things have gone wrong before. We're trying. We're trying so hard to be positive, but there are a lot of fears, and they are valid fears, especially at the beginning. I had those flashbacks to the miscarriage and the various episodes of bleeding. I'm still at the same gynecologist. So going back on the underground, retracing those steps every time, and then hearing the noises of the speculum, for example, you know, clanging against a bucket, and, you know, just smelling and the familiar smells and sights of that clinic, it just brings it all back. And especially the first few scans, I actually didn't want Neil to come. I didn't want him to have to go through that again. And I was willing to take on that burden, you know, and even though I needed the support, it was such a strange situation to be in. It's hard to explain as well, because the last time we found out was his first scan that he had attended. So it still sticks with me. And as we were talking about that journey, it just will be forever part of you. It doesn't dominate your life, but it's always there in the background, like with the grief as well. That's something worth noting, that when you're finally pregnant, it doesn't erase everything that came before.
No, absolutely. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it doesn't necessarily go when they're here either. No. You know, I have experiences. There's one that sticks in my mind in particular. And it's a lovely, you know, it was a lovely experience. It was me taking Ren with my sisters and all my niece and nephews to a park near us that has a big climbing frame and everything. I was the only one, I say stuck, as in like I was a wonderful stuck, but it's hard as well being a parent, you know, like it really is difficult. But I was the only one who was kind of cemented to one place, whereas they were all off, the kids were all off, you know, and I felt really lonely. And I felt like, gosh, if I had had this baby, you know, like a few years ago, they would be off out there and I'd be in the same kind of position as my sisters, whereas I felt left behind, even though I had everything I wanted, you know? And there are lots of different, just small, unexpected experiences like that, that I just feel that like bring me back to like the journey, you know? And like, if that hadn't happened, if, and it's really, you know, it's something that I talk about with my contentment course. It's about feeling it and trying to just let it go. Because if we carry that forward with us constantly, it does make things harder, and it's harder to live in the present, you know? So yes. I kind of talk about taking off that like heavy coat of what has gone before and trying to just, yeah, literally letting it go so that we can live in the moment more. Way more complex than that, obviously. And it is not an easy process, and it's something that takes a lot of practice. But I feel like I'm getting there, you know, and that's a really nice place to be. But yeah, it's still.
Yeah, that's why therapy has been so helpful. Even though I'm so lucky to have support from family, I can be open with them. I know that, especially in South Asian communities, because of all the shame and stigma, it's so hard to open up to people. But I can do that, and I have this community, and I'm so grateful. But in therapy, it's completely different. It's a safe space. It's neutral. You get professional guidance, and you really can just take off that mask, take off that burden, and let yourself go and not be judged in any way whatsoever.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that has helped me to sort of embrace this pregnancy, along with the congratulations and the assumption that everything will work out. There's a lot of people saying, embrace it and enjoy every step of the way. You've worked so hard for this, without realizing how difficult it is to try to enjoy it, because you are constantly afraid of being told that there's no heartbeat. And so far, so good, touch wood. But that therapy has been invaluable. And even if people are unable to access it, just talking to someone, confiding in a friend or family member or a kind stranger on the internet makes all the difference, I think. And talking to my friends who've experienced or are experiencing pregnancy after loss, as well, some of whom have said, I wish I'd been able to lean into the joy a bit more. And if you're able to do it, you've still got X amount of months left. Take it one day at a time. And that has switched something as well in my outlook, alongside Rihanna, which is something that I mentioned in the article for Women's Health about my experience of pregnancy after loss. My therapist was saying, if you could just channel a little bit of that, you know, her with her bump out, you don't have to go crazy, but just imagine that you're her, you know, that carefree attitude. I am pregnant. My body is doing incredible things. I have wanted this for a long time, and I just don't care what you think of the way I portray myself. I'm going to enjoy it and dress the way I want. And that has allowed me to move forward positively. There are still darker days and the worries. Now the worries are more focused around the birth. And as you said, parenting after loss, Neil and I are very conscious not to saddle our child with all of this history and be overprotective, that helicopter parents, you know, just want the baby to live a happy life.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I love the idea of channeling Rhianna. That's just amazing. Because it is,
she's
like, when
so
you
cool.
She is very cool, absolutely. So when you were talking there, and I know that I've done workshops before now, and I talk about kind of snatching back moments of joy from anxiety, but anxiety mm-hmm. is the bar, isn't it? And we're snatching back yes. some of the joy. But if we can somehow, even if it's like one day it's one thing, one day it's the next, it's because it is that ongoing roller coaster that we've all experienced with our TTC journey, you know? But it is, if we can sometimes lean into it and sometimes lean into the fact that we are anxious and seek that support and know that we can go find someone to talk to and kind of deal with that. And, you know, I talk about emotional detoxes, like literally crying, like feeling mm-hmm. that anxiety, telling someone that you're just really scared and that being okay. But that is about finding the right people, mm-hmm. isn't it? Like going back to that toxic positivity, you know, and it's kind of, it's a whole new support work. And actually, I talked about this in the previous episode, episode 3 of this series, the episode I did with Julianne, who mm-hmm. you know well from Parenthood yes. in Mind. And she would talk about attachment and bonding. And she talks about like the onion, like think of it, you know, the support as all the layers, like an onion that we need. I've said that in like a backwards way, but do you get
I do. I do understand the analogy. Yeah.
And I'm doing it with my hands. And I remember when she was talking about it, I was doing this with my hands, like peeling back the onion layers. And that's the different, you know, and some of it's physical, some of it's mental, some of it's emotional, some of it's pregnancy, some of it's non-pregnancy, you know, some of it's TTC. We still need to kind of have that kind of support as well, don't we? It's a lot. It really, really is. Other than your therapist and the kind of community, is there anything else that you have done that's really, like, have you been able to engage in quote unquote normal pregnancy stuff?
I guess it's a little bit different being that I'm based in Berlin at the moment. So I don't have an NCT setup. Things have been very different in Germany, and just getting my head around the fact that you have to find your own midwife as well. I got lucky because I found someone locally through a Facebook group, and I hate Facebook groups. I just find you get bombarded with so many messages and it's overwhelming, but it worked out for me this time. She's down the road. She speaks English, but she hasn't had to do much yet because my gynecologist does all the checks and scans, and the healthcare here has been brilliant. I've been referred to so many tests and things, and they're on top of it, really. So that side of things is covered. But NCT, we did an online course, Neil and I, over a weekend. I think it was 6 to 8 hours on a Saturday, and then the same again on Sunday, which was pretty intense to be in front of a screen. And that was helpful as well, because the focus was on hypnobirthing and meditation, getting your mind right. So a friend of mine, a TTC friend who I haven't actually met, who also lives in Germany, sent me a wonderful book about mindful pregnancy, written by the guy who founded Headspace. Okay. And that has been great. And trying to do more positive things, I think I've wanted to watch This Is Going to Hurt. So the BBC series about, the obs and gynae ward. And I've just stayed away from things like that. I love to watch heavy dramas and, you know, cry it all out, but I've been sticking to trash TV instead, a bit of Love is Blind and Too Hot to Handle, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But mainly it has been taking it one day at a time, as we said earlier, trying to stay grounded in the present and not spiral into the future when I catch myself doing that and thinking of worst case scenarios and things not working out at the moment. You know, there's a lot of reports coming out as well about the racial disparities and systemic racism in British healthcare. And just reading into that, it really just seeps into you and makes those fears a little bit more concrete. So trying to cultivate a more positive mind space, I think, is what I've been doing over the past few months.
Yeah.
Getting out into nature as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you're right, because that report came out just this week, didn't it?
Birthrights,
the birthrights one. And I, hands up, I have not had a chance to read it properly, but some of the comments that I have seen on Instagram that like people have been the recipients of, mm-hmm. it's just it's frightening, and it's way more than frightening. And reading it, like, kind of, I guess for me to see that some of the things that are said, and it really hits home, and it's such a reality, having not heard this before necessarily, which is, you know, something that I feel embarrassed to say, I guess, in some ways. And now, you know, it's something that I definitely will be sharing more about, and especially on Finally Pregnant. But how do you, that just, the impact of hearing that and hearing, I guess, what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say that the fact that it's out there, a bit like when you're trying to conceive, it's like, it's brilliant that it's out there, and you can look at people and you can, you know, without even saying anything, you know that there's that bond, you know that there's that understanding. But equally, it's like bringing to the fore things that might not have happened to you, but might have happened to someone else. And then that's scary, and reconciling with all of that. So it does add an extra layer when you are pregnant and you know, due to give birth relatively soon. That must be a lot to manage. And I feel almost terrible saying that, but it's like I used to say to my mum, you're not reminding me. I know all of this.
Yeah, it's true. You know it, but then when you read it in black and white as well, and you hear people telling their stories, it just, the impact is so much stronger, isn't it? And it's dehumanizing. It's not being listened to. It's not being given pain relief, having to beg for it. Some of the stories I read in the Birthright reports, the case studies, it just adds another layer of trauma onto an already difficult experience. So you don't know what the journey is before that. If they struggled to conceive, even if they didn't, pregnancy is still an anxious time for everyone. And then to have to cope with all these extra challenges coming your way, I can't even begin to imagine how that feels. But there was another one as well that came out focusing on Black women, their experiences in maternity, the 5X More, I believe it's called.
Yeah, that came out this week as well.
Yeah. Five times more, yeah. Because Black women are five times more likely to experience problems during pregnancy and childbirth.
Yeah.
And Asians twice as likely, I believe.
It's just, I don't know, it's not great that it's out there. It's a positive step forward that it's out there. I kind of want to choose my words so that they feel a bit more appropriate, but it's devastating that it is the case and that it needs to be raised. But I'm hoping that it's a positive step forward for change, which is what we need. If that is happening, change is absolutely what we need for sure. So thank you so much for joining me, Seetal. I really, really appreciate you sharing your story. And if anyone wants to come and find you on Instagram, you are...
at Savlafaire, SavlaFaire.
And the links will be in the show notes. And just wishing you as much joy as you're possible to kind of grab over the next few weeks and beyond, obviously, as well, when little one arrives. And just sending you all my love.
Thank you so much. As you said, that'll be a next chapter, and I'm not too sure how much of that I will share on Instagram. I wasn't sure how much of this journey I would put out there as well. As we were saying about the control and keeping things quiet earlier, I documented all of my last cycle online. I did a video series about that as well for Ferring Pharmaceuticals, which you can find on my Instagram, a 13-part series talking about the various steps and then the miscarriage as well, coping with grief. And the final episode is a Q&A with Neil, which is a much needed male perspective, especially from the South Asian angle as well, which I recommend watching if you haven't already. But it's tough to put things out there. And part of me sort of didn't want to discuss any of it because, especially in the moment when you're trying to process everything and engaging with people and giving hope is important, but you also have to preserve yourself and your energy as well, I think. So let's see how this goes.
Oh, well, it's a huge privilege to have you here. And I will put the link to the Ferring series in the show notes as well, so people can go and check that out for sure. And thank you so much. And do whatever feels right for you would be, you know, that's the thing. And you can change your mind on it as well, can't you? You know,
that's very true.
So, yeah, definitely. All right then, lovely.
Thanks
again.
I
will speak to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for having me.